Good morning. How are you?
Hello, Andrew. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
What's your experience been like, both in the immersion and in making sense of your learning through and since then?
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for the question. So I'll answer it in two parts. I would say my experience has been really, for me personally, one of the most transformative professional learning experiences I've had as an adult, really for two reasons. I think the first, I came into Broad and this experience, but also into leadership with a really narrowly defined perspective of who I was and what it was required to succeed. I had seen models of people who both shared my background and identity, shared my race, that molded themselves in a way in order to be able to climb sort of institutional ladders of influence in order to get there, and was always taught to wear a mask. And what the IPD course, first the content pieces, before we get to like the experiential pieces, helped me get language to describe some of the things that I was sort of grappling with. But the immersion experience gave me the opportunity to practice allowing myself to be more known in a different way, in a space with people I knew and trusted and who shared my values and beliefs. So that when I'm not in that space, I have had a trial run at what it looks like to replicate that behavior. And that for me has been really transformative.
Powerful, powerful. And I have, my own words for this, but maybe you can say a little bit more about what does this have to do with leading? You're a senior leader doing, some of the world's most crucial and noble work. What does this have to do with leadership in this important domain?
Oh, I think that's a great question. And so for me, I describe it sort of like the journey. So over the course of the last calendar year, I made a big transition role from chief academic officer of my network of schools to chief executive officer. And the reality is that the two roles are both very different in their orientation, but also really different in the way that you have to be known, how you represent values, and how you engage with the community more broadly. And so for me, now as CEO, whose job actually isn't to be the organization's technical or academic expert around driving learning, it requires you to be able to share your values and perspectives with bigger audiences and to be able to manage a wide variety of issues. But particularly in mission-driven organizations, you are representative of the organization's values. You are representative of the organization's voice. And for me, the connection to leadership is pretty explicit that in a mission-driven organization, being both aware of how you allow yourself to understand interpersonal dynamics, things that are said and unsaid, words, your own perspective, your own self-awareness are critical skills to being able to effectively navigate the really complex environments that you'll find yourself in. And so that's how I see it playing out in my work.
Powerful. And do you, I'm lately into this definition of leadership, which is about the collective capacity to shape our future, right? To co-create a future that we actually want to be part of together. And I'm curious what you see about the kind of collective work. You're speaking eloquently and in compelling ways about the work on the individual level. What's your take on what's happening for the group?
So I think that I have sort of two responses. I think there are a whole host of ways to respond to the experience of being immersed in an experiential learning environment and really trying to explore yourself first with self as the center as a part of interpersonal and group dynamics, because groups are made of individuals, but also then how it impacts the group. So the first thing I would say that at the individual level, you have to explore and understand and be open to changing and exploring parts of yourself, being honest and open to the group and extracting maximum value in a way that, particularly for folks in mission-driven work, is you're unaccustomed to, right? It's almost like you have to be selfish in the group in order to both show more of yourself, and then be open to receiving from the group. But when you do that, something really cool happens in the group, is that like other people both get permission to do the same, but then they also see and they have heard that you're trying to grow, that you're trying to, you know, find that nexus of, you know, challenge and growth. And I think there's a beautiful sort of like moments that come out of that space. I would say the group more broadly, being able to explore these concepts allows you to be able to understand how to better be a part of a community of diverse people, diverse learners, diverse thinkers, how to acknowledge and recognize difference in people in a way that isn't deficit-based, but asset-based. Hmm. And that allows you to understand how someone might be receiving your presence. And while it may seem like, oh, well, that's about you again, Andrew, it's not. It's about saying, what is it that I can do to make this environment both psychologically safe for them and for me, but also allows me to add to the pool of shared meaning and the pool of shared value. And so, again, I can only speak from my experience and the experience of my colleagues in the room, but I would think that the through line and the translation to that in like the practical sort of leadership world is that when you are even in number one, number two, number three seats, these big, large, influential roles that impact thousands and thousands of lives, that the ways in which we show up, the ways in which we interact, our ability to understand nuance and how both our presence, tone, background, interactions shape the dynamics is a valuable tool in being able to lead and get the things we need to get done for kids who are in families who are ultimately who we serve at the end of the day.
Oh, honey, so much richness in there. We need to give you your own podcast platform. There's just so much going on. I love so much of what you're saying. You started by putting your finger on this paradox of, is it about me or is it about them? Is it about thoughts or is it about action? Is it about, you know, what we're doing right here? Is it about what we're doing outside of the room? I mean, you've woven this into your comments. And sometimes these things seem to pull against each other, mm-hmm. right? And so it has the appearance of a conflict, which is just a, you know, paradox. And the way that you're talking about it, you're resolving it by practicing into it. Like your concepts are powerful and eloquently spoken, but really the energy is actually doing the hard thing and getting in there and resolving it in the way that you are showing up. And it's really shining through in the way that I hear you speaking today.
Thank you. And I think that in that, like even in your explanation, is sort of the power of the experiential piece, right? So you have the opportunity to say, can we create and structure an environment where I can practice some of these skills? I can practice this exploration of self in a way that allows me to see what it looks and feels like. And, you know, I don't know how many of your podcast listeners know about Lab, but if they do, and they have the experiential learning experience, even the preparation allows you to sort of explore and think about like, oh, I've seen someone else's experience of this from however many decades ago. What would this look like in the contemporary context? And notably, to me as an educator, we did not see a contemporary example, right? Like there's intentionality in that, that allows you to explore these sort of both self pieces and community pieces, but then to hold the through line of, we're not exploring interpersonal and group dynamics to be group manipulators. We're doing it to have better command and understanding of ourselves, how we impact the group, and then how we can, once we have that awareness, how we can then use that to move the group's collective mission forward. And that group can be any group. That can be, you know, my group, my network of schools. That can be some of my colleagues in some of their large traditional public school districts. That can be, I imagine, context outside of mission-driven organizations. And so I just think there's a lot of power in really doing the reflection necessary to make those connections.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really glad that you mentioned Lab, because there's a way in which it's a very odd practice. It's an unusual way of learning, sitting in a circle basically for lots of time, talking with others here and now about what we're thinking, feeling, and experiencing. And there's a way in which it seems so other that people might wind up asking the question of what in the world does that have to do with my leading every day? But you just outlined it very clearly. There's a way it might be somewhat abstract for people, but this is exactly what you are doing in the everyday, very complex dynamics of running systems and meetings and creating a different world of possibility for children.
Absolutely. And I think that the other piece that I have found that really is the make or break when we talk about sort of the lab experience and even uncurated, semi-uncurated experiences or meetings that we often find ourselves in, is that the way in which you enter the space has the opportunity to impact and influence the room. And so when I'm walking into a meeting that is charged, when either my organization has made an error and our errors are big public ones, right? We're working with the most precious resource on earth, children. And so when we make errors, it is always emotionally charged. And you have to come into the room. The way in which you show up does impact and influence the dynamics. But you also gain the ability in the experiential session to read and understand the dynamics of others and what they're giving and what they're showing. And so I think there's just so much connection there, but you have to be willing to be vulnerable enough to acknowledge and move through the discomfort. You have to be courageous enough to, in my case, speaking only for me, to pull down the walls a little bit and share the thing that is holding you back so that when you are in other environments, you can call upon those skills without the many hours of sitting in a circle to get you there.
Right, exactly. The sitting in the circle isn't the point. It's just the training ground. It's just the way that opens up the practice. Because, you know, to the point that you've made earlier, a lot of people haven't had models of leadership. They haven't come up under people who model a more transparent and authentic way of showing up. They're used to a more of a never let them see you sweat, stay armored, stay safe. Safe from the fray. So when I show up in public, it's not a good idea to show up open, transparent, authentic, available. That seems like a little crazy. I don't even know how to do that. Never mind, I've never seen anybody do that. And so I was just talking about the lack of models, the lack of experience. So there's some hard work and some real courage. And we're here to transform an industry, to transform the possibility. Something, I mean, you said there's nothing more important and precious than the world's children. And how are we going to be able to do that using the current methods? We may not. We might need to transform not only the industry, but ourselves in order to be able to step into what's trying to happen here. So big picture comment on my part. What's your thought or response?
So I think I completely agree. I think that there's, for too long, we've sort of swung pendulums. Either we didn't believe that we were taking the kind of intellectual and research rigor to education that we felt like we need to. So we jumped in with this sort of like, everything has to be sort of ultimately research-based, et cetera, et cetera. Then we swung to sort of, it needs to be iterative. It needs to be ground up. We started applying this market-based thinking and started looking for short-term gains. But in there, we just swung between archetype to archetype, profile to profile. And what we, you know, what you'll hear educators say, particularly those in the classroom, is that like education is both art and science, that we can both bring intellectual rigor and still bring who we are as people. And ultimately, for me, love to the work. I talk to my organization frequently about this idea that I want to build a network of schools based on joy, love, and academic excellence. And they say to me often, like, Andrew, I've never heard a CEO talk about love before. Like, that is odd. Why? And I always respond the same way. I said that you have to love kids to be willing to be different. You have to love kids to be willing to learn and unlearn things that you've learned in the past to try to make it better. You have to love kids to put yourself second and their interests and needs first in order to grow and change as a professional to positively impact their lives. And so love is the underpinning of how we do this mission-driven work. And understanding how you show up, understanding how people perceive you, understanding your impact on the group, and how to maximize the positive impact for the mission of your organization is a demonstration of love. Mm. And it's a skill that can be learned, but you have to make it easier for others to follow in this path by leading from the front. When modeled by the leader, the likelihood of those things being concretized in the organizational culture over time goes up dramatically. And so it's not just how it serves you, but how it serves your organization and your mission over time that make it so critical.
Beautiful. Andrew, there's just so much here. We could talk for another 5 hours, but we've used our time. Is there anything that I haven't thought to ask you that you wanted to be able to say?
I think the only thing that I would add is that it does take courage to engage in the hard work of exploring and building skill in interpersonal and group dynamics. It is hard to ask yourself, how can I lean into this discomfort? How can I explore the things that make me uncomfortable to maximize and optimize the experience for the benefit of myself and my organizations? And my hope is that as folks listen to this, that they know that it's worth it, that going in, you don't understand. I didn't get it. And, you know, we hear those oh so famous words, trust the process. But on the backside, I now understand what we were trying to learn and how to apply it.
Fortunately, the backside of this is actually the bulk of the learning because it marinates over time. And we do have time to play with it. We'll make this session available for people in your cohort and beyond, and hopefully this will become part of the marination. Thank you awesome. So much, Andrew. Such a pleasure.
Thank you guys so much for having me.